welcome back to the High Impact Physician Podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Timo Dygert, a cardiologist and leader at Southern Oregon Cardiology. And in today's episode, they are digging into some powerful insights that Timo's uncovered over the last year working with Sandy, and more importantly, what the impact of those insights were in his work, including in his role as president of the board. They're getting super tactical in this episode. I think you guys are going to enjoy that. They're specifically digging into managing concerns from a group of physicians in an efficient way, how to have difficult and productive conversations, especially with senior leaders above you, exactly how he uses a part-time virtual assistant to get more done in less time. I think you guys are going to love that and a whole lot more. So without any further ado, let's get into the show.
So let's just do maybe a warm-up, kind of just a couple minutes to share maybe just a bit about your story, how you got to where you are, or maybe even a couple of moments that shaped you into the person you are today.
Sure. Yeah, quick background. I'm a full-time invasive cardiologist in private practice in a private practice group in Oregon. During medical school, I enrolled in a combined degree program and earned an MBA and an MD during med school. Went on to residency. I think didn't have a clear idea about what that would do for me other than I thought it was interesting. And went on to residency, went on to work as a hospitalist for several years, and got a little bit of a glimpse of corporate culture and leadership in a large nonprofit, integrated healthcare system. Felt like I needed something for me that would be a little more fulfilling in the long term, and went back and did a cardiology fellowship. And since finishing fellowship, I've been in my current position for about 7 years. Shortly after arriving here, I developed a, sort of an interest in the ins and outs of our business and our relationship with the hospital. I was asked to get involved with a project that had been sort of floundering for a number of years previously, which was the development of a heart failure clinic. And I agreed to take that on and went on to lead and develop a heart failure clinic, which we rolled out in 2019. And that was a very successful project in reducing heart failure readmissions. And it was sort of a good collaboration between our group and the hospital, and really brought this kind of sort of holistic approach to caring for patients in this particular, area. And it was just successful. And I think that, sort of propelled me into more of a leadership role within the group, which wasn't necessarily my aspiration, but I was asked to serve as our board president, and have done that for the past 4 years, and also sit on our management council, which is our kind of co-management agreement with the hospital. And I continue to serve as our medical director for the heart failure clinic. I tried to maintain still pretty close to full-time clinical practice, which is, definitely the most rewarding part of my job, but I've had to scale that back a little bit to accommodate those other responsibilities.
Wonderful.
That's the story of how we got to today.
Yeah. What a great segue, because I wanted to jump in to ask about some of the challenges you've experienced. And I'm struck by some of the words you used, which was, I was sort of interested in leadership. I worked on a project that was floundering. I didn't necessarily have an aspiration for leadership, and yet you moved into being the board president. So given all of that, talk to us a little bit, like as candidly as you're able, about maybe two or three of the challenges that you personally experienced along the way through the lens of leadership.
Sure. One of the most daunting things was just feeling overwhelmed with priorities all the time. Apart from the priorities of home life and patient care, just the priorities of within, this realm of running our business, there's only so much you can focus your time on. There are so many issues that come up that need to be addressed, and seems like it's been sort of a rolling series of crises, over these past few years, since, starting in 2019. So, it was just really hard to prioritize and kind of ever feel, settled in, where does my time need to be right now? And how can I ever catch up with all of these things I'm behind on? That one, hit me pretty hard from the beginning. Other ones were just, part of that was just draining, there were things that really drained me about that, which was, trying to keep track of those projects, trying to sort of maintain a to-do list, scheduling meetings and things like that were, somewhat draining, as well as just being like the person in charge or perceived to be in charge. We have a management team, we have a CEO, we have a director of clinic operations, a director of finance. So we have all these people in our organization who are, managing a day-to-day practice. Yet when there's a concern, from a physician, it often comes to me and I'm expected, because I'm in this role to have a solution or a fix for this problem. And so, that can be a little bit unpredictable and can really lead to a lot of lost productive time because you just get sort of diverted, in all of these different directions. And I guess I'll mention one more thing that was challenging for me was, taking on some of these difficult decisions, difficult issues within the group, it was often necessary to have a one-on-one conversation with, one of my partners, maybe someone much my senior, and trying to get across these important points and have a dialogue about those. And I felt I wasn't always very effective in those conversations. I think I had fear of offending and was maybe too much deference perhaps. And I felt like at the end, I'm not sure I really got my point across there, and so those were challenging situations for me.
Yeah. I'm really appreciating this notion of how you could feel overwhelmed. I like your phrase, rolling series of crises. I think a lot of people can identify with that and just how to keep track of everything. And then that whole notion of being in charge, like loss of productive time, I'm having the thought that really strong leaders focus on what's in their sphere of influence. And yet you might have had moments of feeling like there's things out of your sphere of influence. Like, how do I manage that? How do I take care of that? And then layer in there some difficult conversations, difficult decisions. This is fertile ground. I'm thinking a lot of people can identify with that. So let's pick one of those to dig into a little bit. One of those topics, dig in and tell specifically, if you were to pick one of those, what was like most frustrating or the hardest part of that?
Sure. I think, I would just look at the, approaching difficult conversations and, sort of frame it to say, I'm one member of this group of 18 to 20 physician partners who are all, intelligent, driven, wonderful people who have strong opinions and vested interests, they're all a little bit different. And so when the board is trying to address a problem or craft a policy, it's a real challenge to bring everyone together. And then, trying to kind of smooth the edges and kind of bring all the pieces together, I found it, difficult, as I said, to kind of go one-to-one against, not against, but have that conversation with someone who I know has, lots of experience, has been around, probably has a very good view of the situation from their experience. And, it's difficult to kind of share your perspective or make that clear in like a respectful way that, values that relationship with this person that you'll continue working with, for the next 10 or 20 years possibly. And so, I think, we have this culture within our group where, we do respect each other and we do value, what everyone brings to the group. And so it's always a struggle internally to say like, well, I don't want to disrupt that relation. I want to preserve that relationship, but I also want to address this really important issue, that's important for the group.
So good. I'm appreciating the one in you that is aware of the multiplier. We invest in the relationship and the result. It's been my observation. Sometimes people overinvest in the relationship and not make progress and making a change, or people are overinvest in the result, even if it means stepping on top of people and burning relationships. So I'm appreciating the one in you that wanted to move forward by using this multiplier of investing in the relationships and getting results. Talk to us about some experiments or things you tried to be more effective in that space.
Well, I realized that it really paid to invest in a lot of time before that conversation, just really thinking about that conversation and even sort of mapping it out and preparing for it. It doesn't matter how well you know the issue or how well you know sort of the situation. You walk in that door and you're face to face and, you know, you kind of stutter or don't know how to start, or, you know, things maybe don't come out, or maybe you forget what was really important about that conversation, you know, because you kind of go into this sort of back and forth. And so for me, what I felt was helpful was just to actually write down the things about the conversation that I really wanted to get out of it. So, you know, there was sort of a structure to it. You know, one, what is the outcome I want to achieve? So just be, you know, like succinct, like, what is it that I want to accomplish from this conversation? And by the end of the conversation, you might realize it's actually a different goal, or that goal's modified, you know, but like, you know, from your standpoint, what is it that you want to achieve walking into this? And then why, you know, just like, why is this important to me? And it's important to be really clear on that, because when that why aligns with your values and the group's values, you can just come into that conversation from a place of conviction and really portray that I'm bringing this to you because it's important to me and this is why it matters, you know? So just be like really clear, just be really clear, like, this is why, you know, I am bringing this. And that will really help direct and support you. So I found that really helpful, just to be like really clear, like, why is it that I want this? What are the issues here that I think are so important that I'm asking for this? And then also having sort of trying to predict what the response will be. You never know what the response will be, but understanding, you might not get exactly what you're asking for, but what are different ways we could sort of come to an acceptable conclusion here? And, you know, I think kind of understanding what are your boundaries? What are you willing to give? How far are you willing to go to compromise? What are the other options, you know, where there's some flexibility in coming to a mutually acceptable solution? And I found like having that framework and even like writing out, you know, answers to those questions going into the conversation helped me stay focused and have a more productive outcome.
It's so good. I'm appreciating the one in you that found a framework, like the Timo framework, that's repeatable, scalable, allows you to prepare ahead of time. What was the impact? As you look back, you know, here today, as you look back at the times you use that, what was the impact of showing up prepared and with more clarity?
The impact was, I think there was just a better connection in that conversation. I came away from it knowing that, you know, I said what I needed to say, and that I also heard that person. And whether we came to a complete resolution or not, it was a step forward. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the impact was, it was more productive, and also I sort of feared those conversations less, you know, I just kind of had more confidence going into it. And I think once you implement that, it does kind of build your confidence, you know, for the next one.
I'm sitting here smiling because I think at the top of the conversation, you said that was one of the biggest challenges. Now I'm hearing you say that by implementing a framework, finding your path, your way to address that, you actually were feeling more confident, less fear, even better connection. I mean, that's kind of awesome. I think that better connection could come from productively engaging in conflict. What, as you talk about that even here today, what are you discovering about yourself as a leader?
Well, I've discovered that I have that ability to make those connections and also to make those boundaries clear, you know, kind of give voice to sort of the bottom line. And I think just knowing that you have that in you, you know, sort of makes it easier to sort of take on the next, you know, the next project or challenge that comes up because you've done it before.
I'm feeling so much alignment with you where you say knowing that you have it in you. That resonates with me because I have the belief that most people way underestimate their own creativity and resourcefulness. And most people are way more powerful than they realize. And it begins on the inside, starts on the inside. So I'm appreciating your story and your frameworks that are supporting you to have even more of the impact you want. Thank you for that. It's awesome. Anything else you want to say on that topic before we shift gears?
Nope, let's shift gears.
Yeah. So one of the things I know about physicians is physicians love science, data, and actions, next steps, moving forward. So I'm just curious, personally or professionally, if you've got one or two actions or hacks or just things that support you to navigate everyday living in a way that keeps you connected to just a meaningful life. Any personal or professional that you do that supports you?
You think about, you know, how valuable your time is and, you know, not just from a productivity standpoint, but from, you know, you only have so much mental energy to spend, right, before you're ready. So, you know, you just like, I think it really pays to just think about the things that are most draining to you and try to figure out, like, well, what is it that makes you inefficient or mentally fatigued, and find ways to be that you could be supported with those things. And so for me, it was working with a virtual assistant to help sort of help me manage those priorities, keep track of the tasks, schedule meetings, kind of manage email, and just, you know, be that sort of support to say, it totally drains me when I look at my calendar and try to figure out when can I meet with this person, you know, when my calendar is totally full. So like to be able to take that off your plate and say, you know what, there's someone who knows my schedule and they're going to do that for me. It's just wonderful. You know, it's just a wonderful relief of, you know, regardless of how much time it's spent, it's just saving that mental energy. So, you know, thinking about those things, whatever it is for you as a physician, as a leader, as a, you know, as a human being, as a family member, you know, what is it that drains you, and how could you get some support with that?
Okay, Timo, I want to jump in there because I think there are people listening that are not going to believe what you just said. So what I think I heard you just say, that even someone like you who is super committed to quality details might have started out thinking you could never have a VA because of your schedule, your email, confidentiality. And yet I think I heard you say you have a partner now who helps schedule, manage your calendar, do your email. I think you and I have a few things in common. I don't know about you, but I have a maximum 5 emails in my inbox each morning. I mean, to have someone manage my inbox is like dreamy, and it does. It frees us up. So talk to us a little bit about like what support you just shift from, I don't think that could ever work, to now it's like one of your secret things. What support you just shift from thinking like, I don't know if that could work, to here recommending like it's really working for you?
It's worked wonderfully. And I think it was just reframing your mindset. You know, the first reaction is, how dare I, right? Like, how could I, you know, dream to have someone do these things for me? But I think, yeah, it's just shifting your mindset to say like, well, you know, it's really worth it when you think of like what it brings for you. And it's worth the investment of time and money and certainly time, you know, for a virtual assistant to get to know you and to know your things they need to know about you to be effective. I know your personal assistant, Sandy, is just like one of the most like super effective people. And I know like, you know, you have such a good relationship with her. And it's just like, yeah, I think it is a mindset change. And it's not, you know, maybe for everyone, but I think it's just really kind of daring to think big and to set, you know, some, you know, maybe that seems like a really big goal or a really big leap or ask. But when you kind of think about, well, you know, what does this bring me versus the cost? Like, yeah, it's totally worth it. And, you know, why not? You know, like, I think there are lots of people out there who probably struggle with those things and would, you know, really just benefit from the relief of having a little support. It is a difficult mindset shift, though. I'll admit that, you know, to say like, well, why should I have this level of support? But it's certainly worth, you know, in my case, I thought it was like, well, why not explore it? You know, and I just found it to be, you know, a really good fit and very effective. And I'm really appreciative for the virtual assistant that I've been working with.
Perfect. And just to get super tactical, can you tell us four or five very, very, very specific things that she does with you or for you? Like, get as granular as you want.
Sure. Yes. So she monitors my email and helps categorize the email and, you know, save it and, you know, kind of archive it once it's become a little old, and helps me, you know, follow up on any, you know, kind of tasks that are remaining from those emails. She helps me schedule meetings. So when I get a you know, someone emails me and says, could we meet, you know, to discuss this? And, you know, you tend to get those requests from sort of all over the place. And for the ones that you do want to take on, you know, you just ask her to schedule it. And she's got access to my Outlook calendar, to my clinic calendar, my procedure calendar, and can look and see, and also has access to other physician schedules within the group. So she can really kind of coordinate within our group and, you know, outside of our group to find a time that works. And then we do also just a lot of, you know, kind of like a weekly check-in where I use a project management tool called Trello, which is a web-based app. And so we have a Trello board that we share. And, you know, so once a week we meet virtually and look at the Trello board. And that's kind of like our checklist or our kind of list of tasks that we go through and, you know, mark off or move, or, you know, it's just a great opportunity for me to say, oh, yeah, you know, like this is out there. Can you request this information? You know, it's a way to kind of help keep those projects moving along. One challenge, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can identify with in a busy clinical practice, you know, you have a month between board meetings and, you know, you have this great discussion for 2 hours and all these plans come up. And then it's like, wow, the next month is here before you know it. And like, what happened, you know? And so having someone else kind of like keeping track of those things and having a quick check-in every week where we can say, okay, yeah, we're moving forward with this, or like, this is the next step. Can you contact this person or follow up? Did they get their task done? That's, you know, if you're managing a lot of different projects or addressing a lot of different issues, I found that really helpful just to keep things, you know, moving forward.
If you were to be like super candid and vulnerable, what is the best part of that for you personally?
I think the best part is just freeing my mental energy, mostly around scheduling. You know, I have just sort of this like mental drain when I look at a calendar, you know, just because it's always full. And like, I don't know, you know, like I don't know how to solve this problem. So to me, it's like really the most satisfying thing just to say, hey, you know, like, I'm going to take this concern, you know, this concern away from me. It's a very, very satisfying.
Well, and I'm having the thought that it actually gives you some space to think rather than having time to be in the minutiae, moving calendar appointments around. It actually can give you some increased moments just to free up to think about your thinking.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly right, Sam.
It's so good. Awesome. All right, maybe a closing question I'm really curious about. So you've been in healthcare from lots of perspectives. You've had big visions. You're really committed to execution. You've witnessed transformations. You've led transformations. As you look ahead into the space of healthcare, what's just one thing that personally excites you as you look to the future?
You know, I'm excited to see other members of our group moving into leadership roles and, you know, taking on projects, which is, you know, sort of how I started in our group, is just like taking on a project or getting involved with one. And I'm excited to see what, you know, what that brings with younger or newer additions to our group. It's exciting to me to see the potential there. We are just in this lifelong cycle of hiring and retiring. And we, you know, certainly have some well-esteemed and respected partners who have been, you know, sort of pioneers with our group who are nearing retirement. And that's certainly can be unsettling or concerning to say, like, well, how, you know, this foundation, you know, is not going to be with us always. But at the same time, it's exciting to see those new relationships being built, our group evolving to meet, you know, new challenges, making changes while still like maintaining our culture and our core values. that's what's exciting to me, is just to see how we can persevere and thrive and, you know, change and adapt.
Beautiful. As I listen to the trajectory of your story, I'm appreciating how you built your WHO network through clinics and projects as the board president, but built your WHO network and empowering people to find their way of how they want to do things. And also your own story of reconnecting to your inner world about what matters so that you can continue your own journey of transformation and how you serve and support others in their transformation. This was a pleasure to visit with you, to see you again. I hope you have some great skiing with your son this weekend. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Sandy, so much. It's been a pleasure.